On today's show, we have the latest theme park and pop culture news, including new resorts coming to Universal Orlando, and we touch on Orlando's holiday celebrations at local theme parks.
And we talk about The Walking Dead, Stranger Things 2, and preview IAPA, all this and more on the Thrill Geek podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 5 of the Thrill Geek podcast. I'm joined once again by Barry.
Hey, everybody.
And we decided to try this weekly thing because there's just been all sorts of insanity and announcements and just all sorts of stuff. So we're going to try a weekly thing here for the next few weeks and see how that goes. The podcast may be a little bit shorter, but we'll see how that goes. So first things first. The big news, I think it was our last podcast we recorded. The announcement happened that day. So about a week ago, right?
Yes. Yes. It was about a week ago that Universal Orlando announced two resorts on the former Wet n Wild site, which sort of everybody knew about, pretty much knew it was coming, but now they've sort of officially made an announcement.
Yeah. There's going to be two massive resorts coming to that land after I think pretty much demolition is done, and they're just doing a lot of land clearing right now. And once they're completed, they're going to start opening in the summer of 2019. Both hotels will have a total capacity of 2,800 guest rooms, including 1,450 two-bedroom suites. So it's going to be a pretty big resort.
Yeah, it's going to be two big resorts, and it's going to be I don't know what kind of tiers they're going to have once they open these, because these are actually going to be priced below Cabana Bay and Aventura, which they should be because they're further away. Yeah. They're going to, based on some of the stuff we've seen so far, it looks like, one of the resorts might have that's on the lake might have sort of a beachy theme to it, because it definitely looks like, you have that there's going to be a pool with what looks like sand in the rendering, from what we've seen. And we haven't fully seen, we see like sailboats on the lake, so we don't know, will there be water sports on the lake? I mean, you might as well take advantage of that lake being there.
Wasn't there water sports when Wet n Wild was there? Didn't they have like jet ski rentals or something there?
They had, I think it was like some sort of, it wasn't jet skis. I think it was some sort of like, was it like kneeboard or some?
Yeah, something. Like some kind of wakeboarding or something.
Yeah, they had something
that's
like
what
that.
It was.
So I would be shocked if they don't take advantage of the lake somehow. And I wouldn't. And we'll see. They haven't really announced whether there'll be some sort of like mini city walk type thing going there. But I mean, obviously, there's going to have to be, some sort of, restaurants and maybe some entertainment at these resorts, since they're obviously, you're going to have to take a bus to get to the parks, and they're sort of separate from the rest of everything.
Yeah, they said there's going to be three pools, some bars, a couple food courts, and then coffee bars, I'm guessing a Starbucks, and
yeah,
obviously some fitness centers. So they didn't really get into details as far as the name of the hotel. It was just a very generic announcement with a few concept images, which we have up on the website, so you can go there and check it out. And this will bring the total hotel room to 9,000, according to Universal, after Aventura opens up next year in August. So definitely Universal's taking a bite out of the International Drive tourist area with this hotel.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how it affects that part of International Drive, because that part of International Drive is sort of the one segment left that still, that's sort of that old International Drive feel to it. There's a lot of touristy stuff, a lot of, and sections are a little bit run down.
Yeah.
So we'll interest to see how it's going to affect that, that area there and what the future may hold. I mean,
there was a lot of, you know, go ahead.
I mean, there's been speculation for a long time that Universal holds, you know, not signed deals, but options with, you know, people who own property around there, and, you know, that they're just waiting to pull the trigger, and who knows? I mean, to me, you would think that they would want all that property that's on the other side of iDrive that connects to their resort that's on the other side of I-4. So we'll see. It'll be interesting to see what the future brings to that area.
Yeah, there was a lot of discussion on social media that Universal building this hotel will pretty much put the smaller resorts, hotels, whatever you want to call it, out of business, and Universal will eventually just snarf them up and own a big chunk of that land, like you said, over there on that side of International Drive.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens, but, you know, we're a few years away from that. And, you know, the biggest thing, I think, you know, with 9,000 hotel rooms, and, you know, I think we now is, it really makes sense why Universal's not slowing down, because they're going to have to fill up those hotel rooms. And the way you do that is by opening new attractions every year. And that's how you fill up those hotel rooms. Cause there's still, you know, even with all they have now, there's still times of the year, there's deals on Sapphire and Cabana Bay, and even the deluxe hotels have deals.
Yeah. I've seen everybody get, like you said, even Cabana Bay really, really cheap. So
yeah. So
that's signs that those aren't filling up. So what they're, this and this hotel is massive. So, well, these two hotels, yeah, I should say, are massive. So,
yeah. So it's like we've discussed on so far on a lot of these podcasts. There's a lot of stuff going on at Universal, and they're not slowing down.
Nope.
And even what we've heard been announced so far is really the tip of the iceberg. There's still plenty more things that are coming, and especially with Universal making a move into Christmas this year in a big way.
Yeah. So. And speaking of Christmas, as much as I don't want to talk about Christmas and I want to hang on to Halloween as long as I possibly can, it's coming. And there's a lot of really cool things going on this holiday season, from Disney to Universal and everything in between. So we're going to kind of lightly touch on some of the holiday offerings going on at the parks in Orlando. And I think we'll start off with, what do you want to start off with here? Universal or Disney?
We might as well keep talking about Universal.
Yeah. Let's keep on the Universal track. Universal, obviously this year, the big thing is for the first time ever, the Wizarding World of Harry Potter is getting Christmas decorations and a new nighttime holiday show. And we will actually be at the preview for that for Friday night for the pass holders. So that'll be pretty exciting. And
yeah. And you've seen some of the decorations so far.
Yeah. The decorations actually started going up in Hogsmeade a couple weeks ago, and I was able to get over there and I did a live stream. So if you follow us on Facebook, it's still up there, facebook.com/thrillgeek. I did a quick little tour. It was some of the early stuff, some of the garland, some of the lights, and some of the Christmas wreaths. A lot more has gone up since then, including Diagon Alley. And when I was there last, they had pretty much the main stretch right when you first walk in up to Gringotts decorated. All the storefronts had their garland up, and it's adding a whole nother level of just indescribable awesomeness to the Wizarding World this year with the Christmas decorations.
And on social media, we've seen some pictures already of what it's going to look like with the lights on at night. It looks very impressive. And not just, it seems like not just, both Wizarding Worlds are getting brand new decorations. There's parts of the parks that are getting decorations that are getting, seems like decorated like they haven't been before. And so, and not just straight up plain decorations, we're seeing decorations that have lights mixed in with them. So, you know, Universal is moving big into Christmas after sort of, you know, Christmas has always played a second fiddle to Halloween Horror Nights.
Yeah.
Every year for a while now. And they're upping their game. They're starting it earlier. And the thing I like, they're running it through January 6th.
Yeah.
Which is my one thing, you know, with Disney is like, I don't know why they stop on December 31st. It's like, it's still holiday time, you know, that week after, you know, the week of involving New Year's. So Universal's smart and taking advantage of it and saying, yeah, we're going to keep it running till January 6th. Cause there's people who are visiting for the holidays during that time. And why not? Why not run it through January 6th? You know, you spend this time and money invested into these new holiday items. And we haven't even talked about the new parade, which will debut next week. And, you know, why not run this longer? And I think this is what we're seeing this year is just the beginning of them revamping their entire holiday celebration. You know?
Yeah. So. The parade is going to be interesting this year. I'm really curious to see how that pans out with the new Macy's, not being Macy's holiday parade this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Universal Holiday Parade
featuring
Macy's. So, I mean, we're going to get the balloons and the cool thing, it looks like, you know, the balloons have been pretty generic and we know definitely we're getting a Minion balloon in this parade. So we'll be interested to see if we get other Universal characters, which now includes the entire DreamWorks library. We know we're getting floats involving DreamWorks characters and of course, obviously the Minions, but not a lot has leaked out about what's in this parade this year. And
I got the newsletter in the mail, the pass holder newsletter, and I kind of dug through there to see if there was any new information. And I noticed they mentioned floats. Has that been announced?
Yeah, they announced, you know, they've shown concept art for, like, I believe a Minions float, a Shrek float, and a Madagascar float. And that's about it. You know, we haven't seen really what else is involved in this parade. You know, and I imagine just based on the title of the parade and the other things that they have rights for that they may gain back, that may eventually circle back to Universal in the future. I have a feeling this parade's going to evolve over probably the next few years.
Yeah.
And we may see a slow phasing out of Macy's at some point. You never know, but the acquiring of DreamWorks gave them a lot of stuff and a lot of Christmas stuff that,
And they've relied on Macy's for that content for their Christmas parade.
Now they have their own content that they own Christmas related. Some of it's tied up in at other places that's being used by other places around the country. But the DreamWorks characters themselves, though, have had their, you know, Madagascar's had a Christmas special, Shrek's had a Christmas special. So it's, you know, they're taking advantage of that starting this year. And, you know, it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing the parade because I'm definitely one who felt like the parade was beyond past due for a redo. And I'm glad, you know, we've been waiting Universal to make a big move into the holidays because, you know, Disney has sort of, you know, let it some things slide over the last few years where they've lessened the amount of stuff they're doing during the holidays, especially losing the Osborne lights. I've been waiting for someone, you know, to step up in that game. And, you know, Universal's obviously moving. Whether we'll ever get to something like that, we'll wait and see. But, you know, it's
going back to I forgot to mention in the Wizarding World Christmas celebration, we're also getting shows. Celestina is going to have a Christmas show, which everybody's pretty excited
about.
Yeah,
I mean, we're getting shows. We're supposedly getting some food, but Universal has been sort of tight-lipped about like that too. They you know, Disney always seems to be a little bit more revealing on the information, and Universal seems to like to keep some surprises for when the media event and when the events debut. Yeah. So it'd be interesting to see what these special food options will be in the Wizarding World.
And it's especially something with the Wizarding World, because they probably got to get approval through Warner Brothers and all that stuff.
Well, we've already seen, some of the decorations have been moved. They, you know, after they've been put up, they've been changed a little bit. Yep. So, you know, it's all about getting that final approval. We know the projection show has been testing overnight
pictures have been popping up on that.
I believe about the past week, video and pictures have been showing up of them testing the projection show overnight. So it's going to be pretty neat, and we'll find out next week. You know, not next week, later this week, what this new celebration is.
Yeah, we'll be there, and we'll check it out during the pass holder preview, and then obviously many, many weeks to come as Christmas kicks into high gear here. And down the road at Disney, speaking of Disney, they've really done a lot this year, in particular with Hollywood Studios and their Christmas events. You want to touch on what's going on there since you were there the other day?
Well, they now call their event at Hollywood Studios Flurry of Fun. It includes the return of Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam. And then new this year is Sunset Season's Greetings, which uses the Hollywood Tower Hotel, uses projection mapping on it for a couple of different scenes, basically, that involve the Muppets, Toy Story, Olaf, and Mickey's Christmas Carol. And combined with some synchronized lighting on Sunset Boulevard and video screens that sort of have like an intro video for each projection. And it runs, it's about the entire segments. It runs on about a 15-20 minute loop. It constantly runs throughout the night.
I was going to say, they're like those projections are like the, what are the ones on the Tree of Life that run every so often?
The Tree of Life Awakenings.
Thank you. Yeah. It's kind of like that, yeah. Right?
It's kind of like that, except these run nonstop.
Oh, okay.
Like,
there's no break.
One will have. No, well, they run the, there's like a segment there's an intro on the video screen. Then they do like the segment. And then for a few minutes, music will play and some of the projections will be moving around and stuff. And then it'll go into the next segment, and
gotcha.
It's just on a constant loop from starting, I believe, at 6:30 at night till park close. So it's neat. I mean, it is projecting it on the tower, which, you know, is supposed to be scary and spooky.
Yeah,
but I liked it. The projection mapping is pretty well done. They had to do something. Jingle Bell, Jingle Bam wasn't enough to get people to come to that park and stay at that park at night during the holidays.
Especially since losing Osborne.
Yeah, Osborne Lights was a huge draw for that park every year. I mean, and the biggest thing with Osborne is, the one aspect of this is really you can watch it, stand there, watch it for 15 minutes and then go on and do something else. The Osborne Lights, you know, you could be there for an hour.
Yep.
And especially the last couple of years where there was multiple different dancing light songs. I mean, I think by the end, I can't remember if there was anywhere. I think there's around 10, 12 different songs that could play. So, you know, you never knew what you were going to catch song wise. And even then, I remember when they first started dancing, it was like every 10, 15 minutes. And then eventually they cut it down to like about every 6 or 7 minutes. Cause people were just staying there for so long.
Yeah.
But
I've seen pretty positive things about the big changes they've made this year, just from the decorations, the new Christmas tree in Hollywood Studios. The decorations.
There's Yeah, there's finally a Christmas tree inside the park. They put the Christmas tree in Echo Lake, the Echo Lake area, where 50s Prime Time and across from the Frozen Sing Along is. They've put new decorations there that match the sort of the time period of that era. I mean, they even put decorations on Gertie the dinosaur.
Yeah.
So it's nice to finally have the tree in the park. The decorations look really cool there, especially the reflecting off Echo Lake. They've updated the decorations throughout Hollywood Boulevard, and obviously Sunset Boulevard's gotten updated decorations.
Yeah.
And then Jingle Bell Jingle Bam has gotten updated fireworks and some new effects added to it, and it is a much better show than it was last year. There's a lot more going on during the show, especially fireworks wise, than there was before. So I think it's a much more impressive show.
I think that was the biggest complaint from last year. Well, Jingle Bam from the last few years is the lack of fireworks.
Yeah, it way more fireworks. I felt like they used the lasers a lot more than they did last year. There's a few new projections in the show, and some more effects going on than there were last year. So it's they've definitely improved the show. I felt it was a way better show and definitely worth your time.
That's good.
At the park, and then as usual with Disney now, they've added a bunch of food options that are available. Didn't get a chance to try any, but some of them, some people have said some of them are very yummy looking.
Yeah, of course.
You got a bunch of different drinks. You got like hot chocolate flights that, different, like three different, alcoholic hot chocolates. There's a sundae. There's of course cupcakes. There's what I'm looking forward to is trying the red velvet tree whoopie pie, because that looks pretty good.
Somebody posted pictures of the Yule log the other day.
Yeah, that's available, I believe, at the dessert party.
Is that where that is?
Yeah, I think that's only at the dessert party.
That looked tasty.
Yeah, that looked pretty good. And then there's a bunch of different alcoholic drinks. So a bunch of new food, new stuff. A massive improvement over last year at Hollywood Studios for the holidays, and I will definitely be back multiple times throughout the holidays to see all the stuff and try some of the food.
Yeah, it seems like they've definitely improved it this year at Hollywood Studios, so that's good to hear. Everybody I see on Twitter seems to be pretty happy with what they did with the park this year. All right, I think that, at least for now, covers Christmas stuff. And, of course, starting tomorrow is the insanity that is IAPA. And I'll be there tomorrow and Wednesday covering what I can from the show floor. And you'll be there. What days are you going to be there again?
I'll be there tomorrow with you, because tomorrow is usually the craziest day.
Yeah.
And I will definitely be back Friday and maybe Thursday morning. So, we'll have all kinds of coverage all week, with the announcements, and there's always crazy stuff we find on the show floor every year.
Yeah, it's always fun finding. I mean, everybody goes and does the big announcements on like tomorrow, but then it always, at least for me, it always becomes fun at IAPA trying to find the really bizarre and interesting stuff instead of the typical stuff that you see at IAPA, because you can find some really cool stuff if you really dig in and walk your way around that show floor. So all sorts of cool stuff at IAPA as usual. It'll probably be another heavy VR year, virtual reality, I'm guessing.
Yeah, we've received a lot of press releases about VR stuff. Tomorrow's some big stuff. SeaWorld's announcing all their stuff for next year. Dynamic Attractions has been pretty secretive about some of the rides they'll be announcing, but they're always a big player. And then SNS SNS, is it Sansai or whatever it is now?
Yeah, Sansai.
Got a big announcement tomorrow, which some people, based on stuff we've seen, may be the announcement of a steeplechase coaster. So a lot of big announcements, and there's usually always some few surprise announcements that end up popping up too, that things that haven't been announced yet. So,
yep.
It's always fun. Get to try some crazy, it's always some fun food to try. If you are a theme park fan, IAPA is definitely something you should try to get to at least once just to experience it and see what it's like from, the people who operate and create all this stuff and see from their point of view.
Yeah. I've been going for, gosh, 10 plus years. I'll just say that. And I've seen the show grow and change and morph over the years. And while a lot of the coaster companies have the same booth every year and a lot of it's the same thing, there's always something new and really cool at IAPA. And so I'm excited to be back, and we'll be there covering it. So be sure to follow us. And speaking of which, we're going to be moving on here. That's it for theme park stuff. So we got Christmas, IAPA, all that stuff. Let's have some fun and talk about some Walking Dead. Last night. Go ahead.
Last night wasn't good for our heroes.
Yeah,
they finally had a massive setback last night. So, and once again, when we're talking about pop culture stuff, we try to be as spoiler free as possible, but we're going to say stuff. So be prepared. So spoilers. If you don't want to hear spoilers, please feel free to skip to the end of the podcast.
This episode was really, I think, one of the best episodes of the season so far, in my personal opinion. Just the way it was written and filmed, and I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, no, and for those of us who know some of the comic, we sort of knew this was coming. Face it, King Ezekiel has always been this very positive, uplifting character, and he was going to face something pretty horrible at some point, to put into question, who he is and everything he believes in. Cause, part of his character, he's sort of a charlatan, he's sort of made up this mythology to give these people of the kingdom hope.
Yeah.
But he's always, it's been hints of it, how he feels that he knows he's a fraud.
Yeah.
I always love
his thing with, and yet I smile.
Yeah. I mean, and there was definitely some hubris going on where everything had gone so well so far that he sort of led them into an ambush and everyone else paid the price.
Yeah, that was pretty gruesome.
only a few people walked away from that and he lost people he cared about. And then, in the end he lost the one thing that he had cared the most about.
Yeah, that was, I think I took the loss of Shiva worse than I took the loss of Glenn.
Yeah,
that was,
no,
that, I mean, was sad.
It was very sad, Shiva died doing what Shiva does, and that's protecting him, and because he had protected her, and so it's. For those of us who knew about the comics, we knew this point was going to come at some point,
That's what Chris Hardwick said at during Talking Dead was, I'm not brushed up on the comics this far, but apparently Shiva's death comes sometime around this time frame. So,
yeah, and I mean, who knew how upset everyone would get over the death of a CGI tiger? So,
and I would imagine, the production of the from Shiva's perspective in a production standpoint, I bet you a lot of the production crew were happy to get rid of her because doing a CG tiger is not easy.
No. And, you know, I mean, I thought it was, you know, we knew in at some point there was going to be a setback for all of them. I don't know if we thought that it was going to be that many people wiped out.
That was pretty crazy, especially the opening scene with all the bodies everywhere. And after that machine gun that they unloaded on them with. And then, of course, Carol, she tried to jump in and capture, I guess you could say, capture these guys or at least take the weapons.
Yeah, as usual, Carol comes and saves the day in her own badass way. And you think all is lost, but then, you know, Rick and Daryl show up and end up, taking care of business. And so, it looks like next week we're finally going to focus back on the Saviors and what's going on with them being trapped, basically trapped in their own compound now.
Because these last few episodes have been very focused on them, or I should say them as in pretty much everything but the Saviors. We haven't seen Negan or the Savior. Well, I mean, we've seen the Saviors, but we haven't seen Negan in particular since what episode was
the first one.
I was going to say the first episode. So,
yeah, I mean, we've basically been seeing them execute their plan. That's basically what we've seen so far. And we finally reached a point where there was a hiccup in the plan.
Yeah, somebody finally got taken down. So
looking forward to next week. And so far, this season has been very good.
It was very reminiscent of when, two seasons ago when they really started to tear down Rick. And, you know, Rick became this almighty character. And to see it happen to Ezekiel now, who's been, like you said, this super uplifting, positive character, almost be completely destroyed. It'll be interesting to see how that works out in the end. So, and speaking of the end, I finally got to see, I finally finished Stranger Things 2, or season 2, Stranger Things 2, whatever you want to call it. And I'm sad. I want more. I can't wait for season 3. This season was so much more involved and just so much more going on, and the character development, just everything was so great with season 2.
I guess the one thing we can talk about is, what did you think about the tangent in episode 7 where it's basically
everybody
a different story?
it was funny because I was on social media the day before me and my wife watched that episode, and I saw everybody saying, I saw everybody talking about episode 7. I'm like, what's going on with episode 7? Because everybody on social media was like, you guys didn't need episode 7. Episode 7 wasn't necessary. So that made me interested to watch episode 7. And it was, while it was, a lot of people are saying it wasn't needed. I think it was. It was interesting to see 11 become this, kind of be picked up by these, what was her number?
8.
8. Yeah. It was an interesting episode to watch her be almost sidekicked with her, and it was interesting. I liked it.
Yeah, no, I understood the point of the episode. I mean, it was to, enhance the mythology that there's other people out there like her with different powers.
I mean, that was teased at the beginning of the season.
Was teased at the beginning of the season. And I have a feeling that 8's going to show up probably next season, as they dig deeper into, things. And the only issues with that episode was some of the execution. The members of 8's gang were a bunch of stereotypes from the 1980s.
Yeah, like the guy with the mohawk and stuff, and
yeah, that was borderline cheeseball. I do sort of like the whole, you know, Eleven sort of being tempted with the dark side type thing, because, you know,
yeah, Eight's
whole story is about vengeance, as she's trying to wreak vengeance on all those who wronged her.
I was actually going to say that that episode almost had a very Star Wars feel to it, with her, like I said, becoming partners with her.
And yeah, it's
almost like Padawan and Jedi, you know. It was really interesting.
And then, the last two episodes were basically one giant 2-hour movie of, you know, just.
Yeah, that was probably the highlight of the season for me, was when they were trying to, when they were trying to get back into the building, and all that stuff just started going down, just nonstop action. And what else? I'm trying to run it through my brain here.
Some people, one person didn't make it.
Yeah. And yep. I mean, we won't get into details there. And
did you find it interesting how the scientist turned out, where they really shaded him as possibly being a bad guy? Turned out he wasn't that bad of a guy, that, you know, that he was just there trying to clean up the mess that had been made.
Yeah, I forgot whatever his name was, but it was really interesting with him, because every time you saw him, in the back of your head, you were like, okay, is this guy a bad guy, good guy, bad guy, good guy?
Yeah, and they definitely played off the 80s nostalgia of Paul Reiser basically being the, you know, the corporate baddie in the Aliens movie, you know, being, yeah, sort of the smarmy corporate guy. So they were definitely playing off that nostalgia of that. And turns out he was just trying to clean up the mess that had been created there. And of course, you know, Will basically being turned into some sort of double agent for the Upside Down, you know, basically, you know, being used as a spy to see, you know, what's going on.
Yeah, and that whole thing was interesting with him, and the way that worked out with them using him to find what's his name and everything was really interesting.
And then Steve basically being turned into a babysitter was just, that was hilarious. That was one of the funniest things in the
season. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the interaction between him and the rest of the kids, and
yeah, I really enjoyed the development of his character from season one to this one, from being, you know, I think we touched about it on the last episode, him kind of being transformed from the bad guy in season one to now this babysitter, really likable character.
Yeah, and we finally had the showdown between him and Max's stepbrother, which was going to happen. And, you know, you got a little bit more of a hint on why he's such a jerk.
Yeah.
His father beats up on him. And,
yep,
you know, I did find it funny, the scene with him and what's his face, his mom, flirting with his mom.
Oh yeah, when he showed up looking for.
Oh yeah, that's like straight out of a 1980s movie. I mean, that was like so hilarious. And in the end, it's like, you know, Eleven was of course a badass, and
She came back and she kicked ass, and
we got justice for Barb. You know, the government was exposed. About, you know, sort of, I mean, there was still a cover story that was created, but for the most part, they were finally exposed.
Yeah.
That they were responsible for her death. So, you know, there was closure there.
And, you know, the cliffhanger at the very end, I kind of saw that coming, because they really didn't defeat anything. They just closed the I guess you could call it the portal again.
Yeah, they finally closed the portal, but you know, with the whole thing at the end, the Upside Down's still there, and they're still like this basically, you know, upside down reverse image of Hawkins, basically, you know, upside down underneath Hawkins, you know, that this still exists. It's still there. It hasn't gone away. And obviously it's going to try to get through again.
Yeah. So, cause when 11 closed up the portal, I was like, okay, so the Upside Down is still there. So it kind of predicted the ending for me. So,
yeah, and we got, you know, sort some closure with, you know, 11's been given a birth certificate and Hopper's basically, you know, her guardian.
Yeah.
But she's still got to hide for, you know, sort of they're saying for at least another year, she's sort of got to stay in hiding, and which sort of keeps all of our characters still in Hawkins, because, you know, at some point you would think these people would just get the hell out of there.
I know.
You know, and then we had the which really capped the whole, you know, this becoming a teen drama thing with the whole the dance at the end, and, you know, 11 showing up.
Yeah.
And her and him finally kissing.
Yeah, that was a bittersweet moment for them two finally getting their kissing on. So, really great season. Excuse me. I'm still getting over this sickness I had earlier this week. So now the long wait to season 3 begins, which I heard we probably won't get that until, are they saying 2019?
They're not saying exactly yet. I mean, they have said that the time jump this time is going to probably be more than a year, because, you know, I mean, the kids are growing up, you know, they're not getting any younger, but
yeah.
I mean, but, you know, filming is supposed to start again, you know, next year. I definitely think what they've said so far, there's definitely going to be more than a year time jump this time.
And, yeah. Hopefully it'll be less than Game of Thrones.
Yeah. We'll see. It's the irony is we got to wait so long for Game of Thrones, but time really isn't going to pass that much between the last season and what will be the final season of Game of Thrones. And then one more pop culture tidbit is I've got to see Thor Ragnarok. And since you haven't seen it, I will try to be spoiler free.
Yeah, give us a recap and a highlight of what you thought of Ragnarok.
It was excellent. I think to me, it was the best Marvel movie this year. I liked it better than Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. It's hands down the best Thor movie so far, period. And no ifs, ands, or buts. It is very funny. There's a lot of humor in this movie. There's a lot of sort of goofy craziness, but
I've seen a lot of that. I've seen a lot of that on social media. A lot of people are saying that this one is just downright hilarious.
But at the same time, this one has a great story. There are dark, dark moments in this movie too. And I think that's one of the things with the humor helps with what is really a very dark story of Hela coming back, to take over Asgard, and a lot of people die in this movie. But it's funny. The story is great. Everybody brings their A game, especially Hemsworth. And Tessa Thompson as Valkyrie. And, you know, as obviously Tom Hiddleston, Loki and Thor really grow in this movie. And they become different people by the end of the movie. And, of course, the Hulk shows up. And it's interesting where his story goes. So
what characters does Goldblum play?
The Grandmaster.
Thank you. How big is his part in the movie?
It's a very important part of the plot. He's definitely in it for a little while, and it's your typical Jeff Goldblum type of role. It's sort of
persona,
sort of goofy, strange, slightly with a little bit of slightly sinister thrown in there. But the story is great. The action set pieces are amazing. But there's a lot. I think the funny helps to the fact that there is a lot of death and destruction in the movie, which I think people seem who's like, oh, this was so funny, but it's like, there's a lot of death in this movie and some characters that you have known over the last, couple of Thor movies, don't make it out alive. But I would say it's definitely the best Thor movie. I think it ranks as one of the best Marvel movies so far. It's just a fun ride, and it redefines the character of Thor and takes him in a completely new direction and sets up,
which is what I think Thor needed.
Yeah, it's there's been, Thor's had different iterations always over the years, and some of Thor has really brought out the humor in Thor, which some of the comics over the years have. It sets up Infinity War.
Still waiting on that trailer.
Yeah, it's still haven't gotten the trailer. But I think this, and then we'll see. I think Black Panther is going to be a little bit more standalone, even though there might be something in it that since it's the one movie before Infinity War, maybe sets up Infinity War as far as Earth goes. Because this really sets the ending of this sets up Infinity War as far as in space goes.
Yeah.
And the way this movie ended, you can sort of see where and how the Guardians of the Galaxy are going to end up involved in this. So it's definitely,
I'll have to get out and see it.
Yeah. I recommend it. If you're, I'm a Marvel movie fan, but I'm a superhero movie fan. I'm excited. Justice League comes out Friday, and I'm super excited for that.
You didn't see it in 3D or IMAX or anything.
I saw it in IMAX at Universal, just 2D IMAX, which is that's my favorite way to see these movies is in IMAX, but in 2D IMAX, not 3D.
I've never been a fan of the 3D.
It looked stunning in IMAX. It looked really great. So
I'd pay the extra money for IMAX, but I think 3D is dying a slow death in films.
Yeah, because everything's up converted. We'll see. Obviously, with the next Avatar, will be shot in 3D, but nothing is really shot in 3D. It's all been converted, and some conversions are pretty good, have done a pretty good job, but for the most part. If I can see an IMAX 2D, I'd rather see IMAX 2D than 3D. The only other 3D thing I want to see is I want to finally go do the 4DX theater at Point Orlando. And I think for Last Jedi, I might, or if we go see.
Is that the one that has like the fog and lights and everything?
It has all the in theater effects and the, the motion seat and, everyone I know who's done it raves about it. It's expensive, but I definitely for Last Jedi or if Justice League turns out really good and we go see it again, I definitely am planning on finally doing 4DX before the end of the year.
Yeah, I want to check it out. I just haven't been able to. I actually got invited to the grand opening, which was Kong Skull Island.
Yeah, that was,
and I never went to it. I should have, but I never got around to getting to it. I've had friends go and say it's cool. So yeah, I think that's it. We kept it pretty short. Like I said, we've been slammed with news and stuff, so we decided to try this weekly thing, and it seemed to work because we kept it under an hour today. So
t-shirts,
but as always, our shirts are available, thrillgeek.com/shop. And there's different choices on there. They're still on there. And like I said, we'll be sticking weekly for the podcast here for the next few weeks. We'll be doing a lot of IAPA coverage on the next few episodes. So look for that. And we'll see if we can get out and check out some more of the holiday stuff at Hollywood Studios and Wizarding World. And we'll talk about that more. And in order to see all that stuff, be sure to follow us on our social media at Thrill Geek on Twitter. We are at Thrill Geek on Instagram, and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/Thrill Geek.
And subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/Thrill Geek. And you can follow me at Culture and Thrills on Twitter and Instagram.
Yep, we just hit 10,000 subscribers on YouTube, so I'll try and get more holiday stuff up there with the Christmas decorations, the Potter Christmas decorations, and definitely try to get over to Hollywood Studios and get some more photos, videos of that, and get it up on our YouTube. So thanks again, guys, for listening, and we'll see you guys again next week.
Talk to you again soon.